866-996-0500. You are listening to the Chris McCarthy Show, of course, every Monday through Friday, 9 to noon. Chris is out today. This is Ken Pittman filling in. Normally heard from 9 to noon on Saturday mornings. Happy to have you with us. And this will is likely be my last 2025 appearance on WBSM. I don't imagine that will change. 508-996-0500 is how you get through here at 99.5 and 1420 AM WBSM. And if you don't have the app, you should download it. It's free. It's easy. And then no matter where you are, if you have access to the internet, you have access to WBSM and all the deals, all the shows, all the news. And it's really that simple. 508-996-0500. We were talking about the Trump war on wind. Maura Healey said it's going to bring down electricity to the consumers. I never read that in my life. In fact, because it's green, it's forgivable that it's rising costs. That's what we were told. I still believe that. The construction of the terminal, the construction out there in the seas, all that stuff, that's going to get passed on to you, first of all. So you're in the hole right away. And then the maintenance, all that stuff, I'm not sure where she's getting her math. And it's certainly more efficient energy that we can expect in the future, but that's where it is. It's in the future. We can't touch it right now. So does it compete with fossil fuel rates? Not quite. But then there's the argument that the fossil fuels are contributing to the rising sea levels, which a lot of people haven't detected yet. And I think the inaccuracies by Al Gore and John Kerry and Manning from University of Pennsylvania and all these little fibs to get people more excited and more aware, that has hurt their credibility. I think John Kerry said Nantucket might be underwater by now, something like that, back, 30 years ago. I think he said by 2015. There's been some wild speculations that haven't come through. So the credibility has people confused. And of course, I used to have Christopher Horner on, who wrote a controversial book claiming climate change has nothing to do with carbon dioxide. In other words, fossil fuels as the cause. I'm not smart enough to know who's exactly telling the truth. I mean, you want to err on the side of caution either way. But every time I watch him debate experts, they're not able to argue with his position that in any time in the fossil fuel record, there's no time that is detectable in the millions of years of the fossil record where a spike in carbon dioxide is then followed by warmer temperatures. That hasn't happened. And instead they say, well, yeah, but it's man-made and it's happening this time. That doesn't work for me. Just like because the number's so big that you can spend your way out of deficit. I don't think that's very likely. Look at the government as you look at your household. Do you have enough money to do this? Can you pay it back? A lot of politicians, a lot of economists don't think the debt is a factor. I don't understand it. That's a brick wall for me. That kind of thing. I don't understand how that can be. That it's not, it should not be a concern. I think it's a national security concern. And I say that despite who's in office, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I mean, since Bill Clinton and the Republican Congress started reporting surpluses in the mid-90s, we've been in deficit every year. And George Bush can claim his first year was a surplus, but that had a lot to do with Bill Clinton's economy. And then 9/11 threw a wrench in the gears, and then the pandemic and the banking crash, the Great Recession of 2008. There's been a really turbulent uncertainty in the global economy, of which we're part of. The last 30 years have been really tough. 25 years. I'll give you. All right. You're right. Department of Defense has signed off on every offshore wind lease ahead of construction. And that has not stopped the Trump administration from suddenly saying that the wind farms are a national security risk. They're putting a brake on it. And that deeply affects New Bedford, right? There's a lot of jobs down in the south, in the south port of New Bedford, wind-related. We all see it. And we're talking about unions getting involved. It's nice to see the union. Where were the union? Where were the Democrats when the union got broken in the fishing industry? Turn their back on them. So there's unions back down in New Bedford Harbor again. Huh. I was unaware. The biggest plan that was shut down was the Virginia Offshore Wind Farm, which was set to be the largest project in the nation. I think it'll get back online. I suspect that Trump will not win this permanently. But Maura Haley said that this wind farm offshore from Martha's Vineyard, that's going to lower the cost of electricity. I don't think that's accurate. And if somebody can correct me, I'd be happy to hear them out. And you know what I'm curious about, too? Just locally, in Fairhaven, one of you officials could let me know what the situation is with the wind farm, and if it has succeeded, if it has surpassed expectations or underwhelmed the two turbines that everybody can see for miles around. How has that worked out for Fairhaven? I don't know. I'm not being a punk. It could be great news for all I know. But the mid-Atlantic states like Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, they've all been seeing high electricity bills driven by their own electricity supply shortages. According to CNN, and just last week, the regional grid operator for those states announced prices hit a record high at a regional auction. Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, has led a push toward vast offshore wind buildouts in an attempt to satisfy the state's growing energy needs. Virginia's offshore wind farm is about 60% complete and would deliver more than 2 gigawatts of energy to the grid, enough to power about 660,000 homes. It's impressive. I don't think it's going to be less expensive. But at the end of the day, between the TIFs and the grants and all this stuff, you're going to pay that out of your pocket as a taxpayer. There's no question. And then I'll combine that information with NBC's assessment of the inflation. Like I said, it fell to 2.7% in November. The Bureau of Labor Statistics said that's a positive sign for consumers. November's data was collected later than normal. The release figures may include significant holiday discounting, which could have put a downward pressure on the overall figure. And at the end of their assessment, they said it could have fallen further, except for the green energies and the electrical grid keeping electricity prices higher. And that should interest you. Prices in food, the category, they rose at 3.1%, the annual rate. In Tuesday's release, that slowed to 2.6%. Housing was increasing at an annual rate of 3.6% in September. That slowed to 3%. Energy prices have soared to 4.2% over the last 12 months. The index for electricity increased 6.9% over the last 12 months. That's not good news. As we lean heavier on green energies, I mean, you're going to pay more. But you'll stop the oceans from rising. That's the argument. I don't know what to believe in that area. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. Hello?
Hi.
Good morning.
Hi, Ken. No Ryan today.
No, Ryan doesn't join me when I guest on on the weekdays, he works.
Yeah, I know. But that's okay, because it makes it more fun for our Saturdays.
Not for me.
No, not for you, because you like having a side chat.
I love Ryan.
I know. He's the best. We all do, actually. He's the best. And he helps a lot of us put money in our pockets, but and I really need him this week to make some good predictions.
Yeah, we do.
Talking about electric,
yeah.
Talking about heat, I have something, and I'm going to have to call in. I know Brian's substituting for Barry, and I will call in again and bring this up because I want everybody to hear this.
What's that?
A lot of people do their payment on their computer or whatnot. Like it's just, you know, they don't get a physical bill. And a lot of people aren't reading their bills, but I am livid. I live in a little teeny two-bedroom apartment, right? Mm-hmm. The little condo type of thing.
Okay.
Very small. I live by myself. My heat, my bill for my electric, it's $249.47. This is $250 with the 47 cent. We might as well just make it 251, right? I'm looking at this. I was I probably will start crying just saying the word that I was crying. 2 hours ago, I'm like, I looked at this and are they out of their God-loving mind? How am I going to pay that?
Well, what is it? Do you remember what it was this time last year?
It's never $250 in 1 month for a two-bedroom apartment, Ken.
Yeah, I'm not even raising an eyebrow. I realize it's you know that is on
this
the lower
is not
end.
A house.
Right.
I don't even have cable. I've got my refrigerator. I don't use a microwave.
Do you have internet?
I use tap lights when I go into the bathroom. My electric is so low. So where do you get off charging me this much for my heat? My heat. Are you kidding me? It's been a warm winter. I am so devastated with this.
Are you using electrical heat?
Yes. And they threatened to shut my heat off for $125.
Wow.
I called them.
Well, I don't think they can do that till April. I don't think by law they can do that till April.
Nope. Oh, Maury Haley's changed all the rules. It's all changed. I said, let me talk to your supervisor. I said, I can't even believe it's $125. Never been threatened to be shut off of that little bit amount.
Wow.
I just paid at the end of summer $200-something for my electric because it went over through the month. I do that at the end of the season. I pay everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, so now you're going to charge me $125. Like that's a stupid amount to shut me off over. I lived in the same place for 23 years, 24 now. And I'm like, that doesn't even make sense, right? So here I am dealing, you know.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So here I am. I got that settled. They said, okay, well, we won't till January 2nd. And even then I said, but why? Why would you do this? And I said, first of all, in the state of Massachusetts, after the first day of winter, you cannot shut anybody's supply of heat off.
No.
If their source is their thermostat.
No, it's, my understanding is different. Let me put you on hold because I want you to finish this on air. I got to go to a commercial break. Thank you.
Okay.
Try to run. Try to hide from everything that I feel inside, but I can't escape you. Oh, you're free.
We are back. You're listening to the Chris McCarthy Show. Ken Pittman here, and we're going to rejoin our caller who waited through the commercial break. Thank you for sharing your story. And can I just ask, who is your electrical company?
Eversource. But
okay.
I also have, it's here. Let me go look for it.
Well, while you're gathering your thoughts, let me read this to you. Eversource customers in Massachusetts have a winter shutoff moratorium protecting low-income households from disconnection for heating fuel, gas, or electric from October 27th, 2025 through April 1st of 2026, an extended period this year due to financial hardship concerns. To qualify, you must show financial hardship income below 60% of state median and apply for fuel assistance, HEAP, or enroll in payment plans requiring you to contact Eversource directly to prove your hardship status and manage bills. That's their position.
Right, but It has changed. It's not that easy anymore.
No, it is. It's current. I'm looking at the current.
No, I'm saying first back in the day, anybody over 60, they could not shut you up after the first day of winter. Not in this state. And now they will. They will do it. You have to prove hardship. They want medical bills. They want, do you have children under the age of 5, I think it is. Anything other, they don't care. Like, that's how harsh it's gotten.
Yeah, if you can show them your income over the year and it's less than 60% of the average income.
That's when you would apply for PACE. Now, when my husband passed away, I applied.
No, this would apply to Eversource customers. If you can show that you're 60% below the state median, they will give the moratorium and help you with payment plans.
No, the payment plans, you don't want to go with their payment plans. Their payment plans are so different. Like for me, because at least he was, because the supervisor I talked to, then the super, I said, I want to talk to your supervisor of the supervisor. And he got on the phone with me. And he said, it doesn't make sense for you to get electrical assistance because you only use $32 a month. I said, right, but in the winter, you claim I'm using more than I am, which is not true. And I said, so if I do that, you guys want a payment plan of $50. Is that money going to roll over into my heating bill? And he said, no. Normally, because you use so little electric, he said that there wouldn't be a rollover. It doesn't make sense for you to do
Isn't
that.
Isn't your heating electrical?
Yes.
How do they differentiate what you're using for heating or for overall electricity?
Because it's the thermostat just clicks it. It's the heat.
I understand, but the kilowatt hours accumulate the same on the same monitor. So, go ahead.
Because it's just a 2-bedroom apartment, it's going to pretty much always stay there when it's off and when it's on. So at least, let me put it this way. For the 125, the shut off, I just couldn't get over that. And I said, never has this happened. And he kind of like, and I did. I could, the fact, this is my heat source. Not that I can't pay it. Not that I won't. I said, I just don't understand how I can let something ride for so long.
Where do you live generally? Just whereabouts do you live?
In New Bedford.
Who's your state rep?
My state rep? You mean my ward counselor, Leo Chiquette?
Well, I'd call Leo. But
can I just? I just want to finish my story about
ahead.
The gas.
Go ahead. But all right, I'm gonna give you some advice.
I'm not complaining about the electric. I just want to. $250 heating bill. I out of that $249.47 last month was my $49.47. Right. All of a sudden, I've got a $200, and I'm like, there's no way I use $200.
Well, you just mentioned gas. You just mentioned gas.
This is my gas.
Wait a minute. So you have natural gas heating your home?
Yes.
Well, that's what I asked you. I asked you if you're heating your home through electricity, and you said yes, so that's why I'm confused.
My thermostat is my... I have to have electricity to make the thermostat.
Yeah, but ma'am, there's two sources of energy coming to your home, gas and electricity. Okay, now, all right, go ahead.
And I argued with them, you can't shut my electric off because that is what makes my heat source work. I said, you can't do that. And they said, yes, we can, and we will do it now. And we moved the age up to 65. And other than that, go on PACE, fuel assistance, or make a payment plan. With the electric, I don't use enough. He said it wouldn't be worth it. But so he never told me what kind of bill I was getting ready to look at. So I'm looking at, and I really want everybody out there to look at their bill. I'm like, my heating bill last month was $49.47. So now I've got a $200 bill. But I just want to tell everybody, this is how they do the gas bill now. I really did. I cried. It took me an hour.
I'm sorry. No, I'm very sorry. I'm just a little confused.
Here we go.
Are you on fixed income?
Public benefit. Does anybody know what public benefits is? So I'm paying public benefits. I'm paying $31.70 for energy efficient charge, $23.70 for that. Residential assistant charge, $4.75. Geothermal charge, $3.18, $31.70 that I don't even have. I don't have geothermal. I don't know what a residential is. I don't even know energy efficient charge, $23. You go up one bill ahead of that. Maintenance and infrastructure, $73.06. Residential heating, customer charge, distribution charge, $10. Distribution charge, $57.31 revenue.
Yeah, you could do that with your cable bill. You can do that with, I know there's a long list of.
But $73 for that maintenance and infrastructure investment. But I'd like to say again, it says the word investment. So if I'm investing $73, let alone the $31 down below for public benefit, but this says investment. Well, I would like some paperwork to give that to my tax man. If I'm investing $73, I should get some kind of tax return or some kind of stocks or something. Right?
Well, I think they're talking about investment. I think they're talking about the delivery system, the upkeep, maintenance, and all that stuff. But I don't know.
This is what it's called. This is how they got it broken down now on the new bill. It says maintenance and infrastructure investment, $10 customer charge, $57.31 distribution, $3 coupling, distribution charge $181, $73.06 for that maintenance and infrastructure.
All right, I'm gonna hold you right here because I just think we got the point. But I would encourage you. No, do you know who your state
representative?
No. I really can't.
Real quick. Listen. $52 above that is my total charges for my gas. For my gas.
I understand.
My gas that I use for my apartment.
I understand.
$52.
I understand.
The rest is for them, whoever. I don't even know.
Okay. Who's your state representative?
Oh, I can't think right now.
Is it Chris Markey? Is it Antonio Cabral?
No. Markey, I think, is in our area.
I would find out who your state rep is and call their office, see if they can help straighten this out, because I have to think the moratorium would cover you. It's unbelievable. Unless you're making enough money where you're not underneath. Yeah, that's might be different. I don't know.
Oh,
but
no, I only walk away with $16.25 a month.
Okay.
After my health insurance.
I strongly urge you to call your state rep and get some representation here.
But how do they charge me $200 for all this?
How do they do that? You're not alone.
Next month's going to be $200.
You're not alone. I'm so sorry. I got to hold you, though.
I know.
I got to hold you.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Yeah, it's distressing. I get it. I don't want to seem like I'm cold hearted. I hope I gave her enough time to get it across. I know she's not alone. I know there's a lot of you looking at the same thing. But I don't think Maura Healey screwed with the moratorium. I don't think she would do that. I mean, that's one thing Democrats are good for, is looking out for the low-income folks to maintain the voter base, and because they think it's the right thing, but both things. It says Eversource customers, this is gas, Eversource customers in Massachusetts have a winter natural gas shutoff moratorium from October 27th, 2025 to April 1st, 2026, protecting low-income households and those with infants or serious illness from disconnection for heating needs, provided they contact Eversource and show proof of financial hardship, like applying for HEAP. Standard protections also exist year-round for elderly 65 and over or seriously ill infant households, but the specific winter extensions offers broad relief for hardship. Contact Eversource to enroll in assistance or payment plans to stay connected. Now, she can also call Eversource's gas division and apply for payment plans, or I have to think she'll have success. Thanks for calling. You're next.
Good morning. How are we doing today?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad. I feel bad for the previous caller.
Stressed.
It's really messy, and I'm really surprised that this is not going to be the issue that's going to take a governor who I call the king. She's telling me how to keep my house, how to build my house, yada, yada, yada. Mm. But anyway, I think what she's talking about, when she mentioned about the investment, I think that portion is regarding the investment of them putting in new systems, replacing, pipelines, things along that nature. I think that's what that part of the bill is referring to, not stocks or anything along those lines. That's my take on it. Okay. And the question I have for you, which you may or may not know, I haven't heard anything more about that poor woman in Everett who got hit, other than the fact that the judge let the guy go with almost like a slap on the wrist as far as fines go.
Woman in Everett hit.
That got hit on a Sunday by an illegal that went around a bus and knocked us something like 70, 80 feet.
I can't keep up. I'm not even aware of this.
Oh, really? Oh, that was a big thing a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it got past me. So
Wow. Okay.
It was a school bus or an MBTA bus?
No. She was walking the crosswalk. My understanding is the bus in Boston kind of stopped because the woman was in the crosswalk, but this individual raced around the bus and hit her. It hit something 70, 80 feet.
It wasn't two lanes? It was
the site.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was curious what happened with that. Because the last I heard, like I said, was that the judge who heard it only charged him a $1,500 fine or something. That sort of deal.
I wouldn't be surprised. Remember the Milford incident? An illegal immigrant in a pickup truck struck a bicyclist. The bicyclist ended up in the wheel well, getting horribly murdered, killed.
Wow.
And the judge said, "Well, this guy doesn't. He's not culturally expected to understand our laws." And he gave him a very light sentence, very light slap on the wrist.
Where's the families here? Because, you always hear about the families now coming after, like they did with O.J. Even though he was found innocent, they went chasing after him. I'm not saying they're going to get any money, but why let those individuals go by unpunished, not made their lives a little difficult? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's the way I would do it. If I don't care if the person had no money. I'd be dragging them in the court for every chance I get, just because, I lost a beloved family member due to their negligence.
Yeah, it's almost as though the courts are saying we don't value your loss.
And I've been to Mexico. Their stop signs look like ours. I hate to tell you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So a lot of the traffic signs are more or less the same. And the rules of the road, that sort of deal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now you wonder why that the insurance in the state is so high.
Well, you can't make it up. Look, the problems this country's facing. So there were so many lethal examples of giving illegal immigrants who can't read our instructions CDLs, commercial driver's license, to drive trucks, heavy equipment on our streets, in our highways. And so California ended up bending to the will of the pressure, and they pulled the CDL licenses. Now the illegal immigrants are suing the state of California for losing their CDLs. They're not supposed to be legally working in this country. Why would they get commercial driver's licenses anyway, number one? And they're going to sue for the loss of the license that they were never supposed to get.
Here's a better one. Where are they getting the money to be able to sue?
Oh, I think there's no shortage of advocates and nonprofits that will take care of that.
You're right. But you know what I'm saying? That's where, and I know it's hard, where the common person, like I said, the family of this poor woman in Everett.
The ruins of a walled city, crumbling towers and beams of yellow light. No flags of truce, no cries of pity. Siege guns have been pounding through the night. It took a day to build the city. We walked through its streets in the afternoon. As I returned across the fields I'd known, I recognized the walls that I'd once made. Had to stop in my tracks for fear of walking on the
Yeah, apologies to the last caller. Chris McCarthy's show format is a little bit different. There's three breaks. One always catches me off guard. But if you wish to call back, you're more than welcome. That's fine. Yeah, Boston, the city of Boston is... It's really crazy what they're facing. And it's, it's well-known Massachusetts is annually now the most expensive or one of the most expensive states to live in. And, the lower income is getting pushed out of Boston, right? And a lot of places have been gentrified. And so people have to seek other places to live. They haven't really done what they're supposed to do for low-income housing. And Michelle Wu says she's going to address it. We'll see. The figures are unbelievable. So the greater Boston area, the median single-family home price is $925,000. You literally have to be a millionaire now to own a home in Boston. It actually went over $1 million earlier in 2025. I don't know what they did to adjust it, but it's $925,000 at the moment. And depending on the neighborhood, some neighborhoods, you know, it goes down to like $854,000, but a lot of it is even higher, $950,000. But the average house median family home price, $925,000. I come from a Boston family, and I could tell you that when they got these homes, the earliest that I know home ownership was 61 in my family. I think it was $36,000 for a three family. My great aunt bought in like 61 or something like that. I'm sure there's other homes that I'm not aware of, but that's the one that I know about. And that one's now valued at over $4 million. It's crazy. The average price per square foot can be about $925. The South End is $1,048,000. Bay Village, $1.2 million. South Boston, $871,000. North Dorchester, $667,000. The outskirts of Boston. The average, $925,000 to live there. So now, I guess that should be good news if you're looking to buy a home outside of Boston and the train now goes to New Bedford. That could be a good thing. And the valuations are going to go up. And what about people on fixed incomes in New Bedford? Is that good for them? I doubt it. Can they afford to stay in New Bedford? And where do you go from there? This is about as inexpensive a city as there is in the state. And that could change. I never understood New Bedford's resistance to going vertical. I don't know how you guys feel, but would you be opposed to a skyscraper in New Bedford, downtown? I think it might have some exciting opportunities. But I don't know if you want it. I don't know if people would want it. A mixed use, commercial, residential. They don't seem to think vertical. There's not a lot of space in New Bedford, and nobody seems to look up in the city. You're going to have to do something eventually with the finite amount of space in New Bedford. But a woman called, as you heard, probably if you were listening, just a little bit of time ago. She talked about her electricity being shut off because the amount of gas she was using. Or she hasn't paid her electricity because she's paying for gas, whichever. She can't afford to pay both, and they're connected. Can't use the gas without the furnace. I mean, without the thermostat, which is electric. And for the sake of 125, she's stressing that she's going to be shut off. I tend to think there's something wrong with the communications here, but given there's a moratorium on being shut off in the winter. And if she can't really come up with $125, I would have to think she falls under that protection. And I know she's not alone. I know a lot of people are stressing out over the utility bills. It's awful. And it's only getting worse. On the national news, a lot of you are aware that the U.S. military, under the orders of President Trump, struck some Islamic State-linked militants in Nigeria. And predictably now there's certain people who are suddenly pro Boko Haram and Islamic State. And there's these conspiracy theories that it's all about the uranium and natural resources found in Nigeria. I tend to trust that it is what the president said. I mean, there's been over 50,000 murdered since 2009, over 38,000 murdered since 2011 by these Islamic terrorists. And Trump had eradicated the Islamic State in just a few months into his first term, something that President Obama struggled to do and was unable to do at the end. They grew and grew from Iraq all the way past Libya, and they killed everywhere they went. Brutal. We saw it. Beheadings, setting people on fire in cages. I mean, they were brutal. Killed a boy for playing soccer. And we're talking tens of thousands of murders. Now 2,600 miles south in Nigeria and Africa, they've taken root again and are murdering. And so the president warned them, it has to stop. We're not going to stand by. And he didn't. On Christmas Day, he launched an attack with the cooperation of the Nigerian government, by the way. The Islamic State-linked militants were struck in northwest Nigeria, expanding its counterterrorism reach into a region where extremists have been trying to gain ground. Nigeria has battled jihadist groups for more than a decade, primarily in the northeast, where Boko Haram and the Islamic State West Africa province operate. And there's another group, a very little-known group, smaller faction known as Secret Tax Hikes, and Pioneer New England Legal Foundation claims the taxpayers who appealed their commercial property taxes to the city are being penalized without notice. So if you appeal your assessment, they're going to nail you. If you have a business that you feel was way out of whack from the value of the property and you bring it to the attention, I think you guys made a mistake, they're going to nail you for it. Michelle Wu's Boston. It is 10:55 here. We'll head over to the news break in just a moment. If you're a New England Patriots fan, you got to be excited after yesterday's outcome where the Pats leveled the New York Jets. Drake May, now just the fourth quarterback in Patriots history with 5 touchdown passes in a game. More importantly, they secured the AFC East championship. Buffalo lost to Philadelphia later that day. And a lot of criticism on the coach's decision to go for two with no time left instead of kicking the extra point and sending the game into overtime. I personally think when you're at home, you get all that momentum, which Buffalo had. I think you have to go into overtime, get the tie. You're playing the world champion Philadelphia Eagles. You got to go 2 yards in one play. And the play was there. I mean, Allen just choked. There's no other way to put it. He missed a wide open wide receiver. But the call was wrong. The coach should have just kicked the field goal. And this guy was on thin ice in some people's minds in Buffalo anyway. The Bills' window to go for a Super Bowl with Josh Allen, it's coming to an end. Not this year. I mean, they'll be heard from the next couple of years, but they had a long window of annual greatness, and they just weren't able to capitalize on it, whether they were stopped by the Bills or whoever. They just haven't got it done. They've never gotten to the Super Bowl, even with some of the best rosters over the years. The last 6-7 years have had some great rosters. They just have not got it done. And now the Patriots are back, which is even more pressure. If you put money down on the Patriots winning the AFC East before the season started, you were laughed at. And who's laughing now? I mean, I think if you put $100 down, I think you're getting something like $5,700 or $6,000 for the $100 bet. I certainly didn't have that kind of faith. I thought maybe they might scratch their way into the playoffs. I doubt it, that kind of attitude. I knew they'd be better, but my word, they more than tripled their wins from last year. It's hard to double your wins in the NFL from the 1 year to the next. And here we are with one game left. Miami comes to Foxborough. The Patriots undefeated on the road this year. They look at a 13-3 clinching record. They win the AFC East. Now the only thing left to do is to hope the Chargers defeat the Denver Broncos and the Patriots beat Miami. They would become the number one seed, where they can't lose in the first round of the playoffs because they would have a bye. And they would take on the winners of the of the game, the games that were played on the prior week. But that's a big thing to get that bye. And they are right there. Denver has the edge right now. They are also 13-3. But they have a much tougher game. They're playing the 11-5 playoff-bound Chargers, a divisional rival. It's in Denver. It should be a great game. So that they'll, I think they'll take care of business with Miami. Miami does not do well in the cold. It should be cold next Sunday. Can't wait for that. We're going to go to our news break and come back with your calls, which are more than welcome. 508-996-0500. But exciting time to be a New England Patriots fan again. And I'm sure the rest of the NFL is lamenting, oh God, not them again. But the rise of Drake May, the unbelievable speed of progress in that young quarterback has just been breathtaking. And that's not just a New England assessment. That's a national assessment. He's a new star in the NFL. All right, let's take a break. We'll